And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Things on Fire. Each of my guests is discussing something that's on fire, either in the news or in our personal life. My next guest is a politician from New Jersey who believes there's too much crony capitalism in politics today. She'll discuss how to identify and prevent crony capitalism here in Ventura County. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Amy Hamlin is Deputy Minority Leader of the New Jersey General Assembly, where she's serving her third term. Hamlin spent over 20 years in politics at every level of government. Amy's a graduate of Harvard University with an MBA from Columbia and a PhD from New York University's Stern School of Business. Amy's the author of several books, including Be Your Own Lobbyist, How to Give Your Small Business Big Clout, and State and Local Governments. Her latest book is Crony Capitalists in Our Backyards, Who They Are, What They Do, and How to Fight Them. Amy is also an associate professor in the Department of Management and Marketing at Monmouth College, joining us from New Jersey. Welcome back to the show, Amy. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Well, glad to have you back. It couldn't be more timely because in the light of the spectacular failure of Solyndra and the cost of the taxpayers, $535 million, your book couldn't be timelier. If you look at it, it's alleged that the Obama administration officials pushed loan guarantees through despite concerns and objections, and on and receiving end of that $535 million loan guarantee is Tulsa billionaire George Kaiser, who just so coincidentally happens to be a President Obama backer who raised between $50,000 and $100,000 for the president's election campaign. Kaiser is one of Solyndra's primary investors. Not to be outdone, the Republicans also have Newt Gingrich, who's running for president, and he was consulting for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two beleaguered quasi-governmental agencies that were at the forefront of the real estate collapse. And then when asked about it, he sort of walked away from it and said, I was just simply an advisor to that. You assert that this type of crony capitalism is not an isolated case, that it happens on the federal, the state, and the local level. State your case, Amy.
Well, yeah. I mean, if people wonder why this kind of stuff goes on in Washington, they need only look at where the Washington politicians come from and how they learn the ropes. And, of course, that is in state and local government. And while the high profile of cases like Solyndra are extremely important, especially since they focus people's attention on the waste, fraud, and abuse associated with crony capitalism, the much bigger story is that for every Solyndra, there are thousands of sweetheart deals being struck in back rooms by state and local politicians. Just like I'm sure our listeners remember Jack Abramoff. Just like, you know, for every Jack Abramoff, there are thousands of sleazy lobbyists who are plying their trade in state houses and city halls throughout the country. And what happens, and what I argue in my book, and I should mention it's an e-book, it's strictly online, we all pay a local crony tax for padded contracts and inflated pricing on everything from school construction to garbage trucks. And plus, our quality of life is eroded when we end up with shoddy public facilities and third-rate public services of all kinds.
Well, now, you're not making a link between our failing infrastructure, bridges, railroads, things like that, and crony capitalism with the jobs went to perhaps an inferior contractor, are you?
Oh, sure, sure. No, absolutely. I mean, that happens all the time. In the ebook, I talk about different types of crony capitalists, and a couple of the examples that I use come right out of California. Though, of course, I'm over here on the other coast, there are just amazing examples from California. For instance, one category of crony capitalists is what I call purveyors of junk, who depend on their connections much more than on the quality of their product. And an example that I gave, and you may be familiar with this, is that not long ago, officials at the Los Angeles Community College District gave multi-million-dollar renovation contracts to a builder who happened to be large campaign contributors. And What do the taxpayers end up with? Heating and cooling units installed upside down, wet wood that had to be torn out, cracked floors, crooked stairs, and plumbing that didn't work. And what really took the cake was there was a new animal science center constructed where the pig's trough was too high for his snout. So even the pig got cheated.
How interesting that the trough that these purveyors were feeding from was too high. My guest is Amy Hamlin. Amy, let's come back to another recent case, involves Google here in California with the assignment of Google Mail to federal agencies. Now, that has been nipped in the bud. That was stopped prematurely. Talk to us about that. What type of cronyism is that you were describing with the Google Mail?
Well, I'm not familiar with the details of that, but it certainly strikes me as just a sweetheart deal. And, you know, this, too, happens all the time when there are insider vendors who have various kinds of connections with officials, and they work those connections, and they do it in such a way that competitors get muscled out. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily not the best vendor. What it does mean is the taxpayers have no assurance of that. They have no assurance that there was genuine competition, no assurance that anyone scrutinized the fine print of the deal.
All right. My guest is Amy Hamlin, author of the book Crony Capitalists in Our Backyards, Who They Are, What They Do, and How to Fight Back. It's a brand new ebook that's out there. Amy, tell us about your story about your first encounter with crony capitalism.
Well, it wasn't pleasant. It was when I was first elected to a county commission here in New Jersey, and the other commissioners wanted to construct a $60 million garbage incinerator. And for a variety of reasons, I thought it was a bad idea. But my arms were twisted, both of them, and I was subjected to all kinds of pressure in an effort to get me to come around. And I didn't realize until I had developed some insights into what was going on that it was largely about crony capitalism, that there were a whole lot of people who stood to get rich if the incinerator went through. Now, to be fair to the other officials, they did finally agree to put the question on the ballot, and the voters voted it down. And the incinerator was never constructed, but it opened my eyes to these kinds of deals, and I have been on a crusade ever since.
Well, help me to understand this, because I'm concerned that this is not only happening today, but it's going to be a growing issue as well. Hear me out on this particular question, because every grade school child goes through civics class and knows that there are three branches of the federal government. There's the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. Now, it's unprecedented in U.S. history that the three branches colluded to help themselves stay in office. Back in January of 2010, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the government limits on campaign spending by corporations and unions was a violation of free speech rights under the First Amendment. The ruling was 5-4. That opened up the door for shadow parties and parties in exile to donate large sums of money to political campaigns. In what ways is this Supreme Court ruling aiding and abetting the crony capitalism that you're talking about?
Well, I think it is very dangerous because what it does is it gives more avenues for what I call wink and nod contributions. In other words, it just opens up new avenues for the unions and large corporations to make sure that certain politicians know that they are big backers, even though they're not required to follow some of the same rules that ordinary people have to follow. And, you know, there's simply no question that that loophole is going to be exploited. It's already being exploited. And, you know, this isn't a Democratic problem. It isn't a Republican problem. It's a problem in our political system. And, you know, there have been a number of attempts in recent history to change the rules so that they would be more, it would be more of a level playing field. But, you know, in this latest blow, a lot of the protections were swept away. So I don't think there's any question that we're going to see more and more of huge donations being made in return for various breaks, various deals. and it won't be there won't be a paper trail. It won't be clear that there's a quid pro quo, but in fact, you know, that's what's going to develop.
My guest is Amy Hamlin, and Amy, what you call a loophole, I call a tunnel. I'm not going to let this go. I want to ask one further follow-on question, if I can, because comedian on television Stephen Colbert parodies this Supreme Court ruling by creating his own super PAC. And he has done this with undisclosed funds and undisclosed purposes, what he's going to do with the super PAC. But he actually went before Congress. He testified about his super PAC, and he was approved by the Congress to collect people. Now he solicits donations from his viewers. We don't know how much money he's raised. We don't know what the funds are going to be used for, if they're even going to be used at all. This is nothing more than a giant publicity stunt. But what does the Stephen Colbert super PAC tell us about politics in the United States today?
What it tells us is that people are extremely cynical, and that in some ways the system has indeed become laughable, that there are so many ways to get around what are supposed to be the rules that, you know, in many ways there aren't any rules. You know, it just depends on how many high-priced lawyers you have to figure out how you can get around them. Now, that's not necessarily the case on the state and local level. Every state is a little bit different, but certainly on the federal level, it just opens the door for enormous influence by an ever-shrinking pool of huge donors.
All right, Amy. Well, let's follow on with your book, Crony Capitalists in Our Own Backyard. Now, you've given us one type of crony capitalist, the purveyors of junk. There are a couple of more that you outline in your book. Give us a couple of other examples, please.
Well, earmark seekers. People think that earmarks are only a federal issue, but they need to think again, because earmarks may be called by different names, like discretionary grants or member projects, but they're all the same thing. They're kind of like bags of pixie dust that state and local politicians get to sprinkle around on their friends and their business associates and their campaign donors, whomever strikes their fancy. And there are millions of dollars in some cases made available to state and local politicians for them to spend in any way they please. And there have been a few indictments as a result of these local earmarks. Both the former New York Senate Majority Leader and the former Florida House Speaker were indicted for steering state grants to their cronies. The members of the New York City Council spread around over $36 million. Each Los Angeles County Commissioner controls a million plus. And even in smaller cities like Louisville, Kentucky, the council members can dole out over $100,000 each. So these are abuses waiting to happen. And then another category that's really important, because the public in general doesn't really think about it, is that lobbyists like political power brokers or former officials who sell their influence at one level of government to another level of government. In other words, they're not working for private sector interests. They're working on the taxpayer's dime. So, for instance, it's routine for towns and counties and public colleges to pay six-figure fees to former congressmen to plead for more federal money. In Arizona last year, local officials spent over $5 million just to lobby state officials. And the money is then used to expand local facilities and create larger local bureaucracies and, of course, to give more contracts to local crony capitalists. So your local tax dollars may be used today to ensure that your local tax bill is higher tomorrow.
All right. Now, you've laid out the problem very succinctly, Amy. Let's come back to what are some of the solutions. Give us some ideas, some strategies, or some steps that we can take to fight back.
Well, I'm going to talk about the single most important strategy because it's the simplest, and I do elaborate on this in the ebook for people who want to delve into it. But the simplest strategy, which can be taken up by anybody who's listening to us right now, is simply to pay attention and to let your local and state officials know that you're concerned about this and you're paying attention. You know, people make very different decisions when they know they're being watched. And conversely, if your state and local representatives believe that no one really cares, that, you know, they can give out any kind of contracts they want and get away with it, then that's what they'll do. And any citizen has the ability to shoot off an email or pick up the phone and call or show up at a public meeting and just make it known, communicate in your own words some version of this. You know, I expect from you, Mr. or Ms. Official, that you will use my dollars, my tax dollars, to get quality products at a fair price. And if you don't do that, be put on notice that I'm not going to vote for you, and I'll make sure that nobody I know is going to vote for you. And again, it's not hard. It doesn't take any expertise. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. But if an official is thinking about giving out a contract on the basis of something other than quality and fair price, they'll think again if they know that they're being scrutinized.
Oh, that's very sound advice. My guest is Amy Hamlin. She is author of the new book, Crony Capitalists in Our Backyards. Amy, being that you're from New Jersey, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about something in your local politics. Give us your thoughts on Governor Chris Christie and his, he said he's not running for president. Give us your thoughts on Governor Chris Christie and what he has done for the state of New Jersey.
Well, he's been terrific. He's really helped us turn the state around, and we went from piling up multi-billion dollar deficits to really beginning to cut into them and get our fiscal house in order. And the citizens of New Jersey, while we were excited at the possibility that he might have run for president, we're really glad that that we have him to ourselves at least for another couple of years.
Well, in this case, New Jersey's gain may be the country's loss. My guest is Amy Hamlin. Amy, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, Crony Capitalists in Our Backyard, where would you direct them to go?
Well, again, because it's an e-book, they can go on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Just put in Crony Capitalists in Our Backyards, and it'll come right up. It's short, it's cheap, it's intended to be a quick read, and it's really meant as a call to action. So I hope that some of the folks who are listening to us today will, in fact, decide to take action based on what we discussed.
That book is Crony Capitalists in Our Backyards, Who They Are, What They Do, and How to Fight Back. Amy, thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.